So this morning we start our 12-week sermon series. So it's going to go through September, October, and November. It's going to be our Growing with God sermon series. So it's going to be 12 weeks. It's going to be 12 new habits that grow us closer to God. So there's a book by Richard Foster, Celebration of Disciplines. And then that's what our Monday classes, starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow, are going to be going over. It's going to be recapping the sermon, practical discussions at the tables, and then ways to be able to incorporate it at home as well. And so really about how we start to incorporate these disciplines, because these disciplines are things that we have to intentionally set our mind upon to practice to help us to grow closer with God. So it all starts with us, first and foremost, having this desire and this passion to grow closer to God through our relationship with Him. If we don't have that, then the disciplines are going to mean nothing to us. And so once we have that desire, say, you know, I do want to know God more in my life, then these disciplines are perfect for us because it's going to help us start to understand different ways that we can do that. So as we get started today, our brain has this wonderful gift. And sometimes the gift is used for good, and sometimes the gift is used for bad. And different people are going to have different ratios. But one gift that our brain has is that anytime we lie down and our head hits the pillow, we don't usually fall asleep. We start to replay all of those conversations in our minds. We start to think about all the conversations that we have. We start to think, man, okay, what was this person thinking of me when I was in this situation with them? You know, oh man, how did they take this? What did they mean when they said this? Or, okay, so I really got to talk to them about this, but I really don't want to. And so our mind starts to wander. It can be bad where we're thinking, oh man, I can tell by their reaction that they're tired of me. They don't want the jokes, and that's fine. Or for me, even just with Sarah trying to be like, okay, so does she like me? Is she interested in me? Well, then you're starting to think, okay, well, this is how long it took to text back. Okay, this is what they said when I wanted to hang out, and then all these things. And then you're starting to think, man, I need to remember to talk to her about these. And then I call her, and she says, why are you calling me? And I'm like, okay, that's it. Ending that, we'll just text them later, okay? But then all these thoughts that we have going through our mind just start to run through constantly. It's just this gift that we have when we're playing all these conversations in our mind. And so the first discipline for us is meditation. And so we see in Psalm 119, starting in verse 97, it says, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make, that's actually way off back there. Hang on, I gotta flip there. I'm sorry. I had it set for somewhere else, but that is off on, that is pretty off back there. So if you want to join me, we're going to Psalm 119, starting in verse 97. So it says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I may obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You see, there's five things in there that it talks about that we meditate and we obey. It talks about his law, his commands, statutes, precepts, and then that we also have to obey them as well. So what we're going to find throughout all of these disciplines is that there's going to be one key element that is central to all of them, and that is going to be Scripture. If Scripture is not incorporated with which we are practicing, it's not a spiritual discipline. It's just something then that we're doing. It's an empty thing that we are doing that isn't glorifying God. It's not growing us closer to God. Because it's Scripture, then, that moves the Spirit within us. It's the Spirit, then, that moves within us to move us into this place where Jesus can be the intermediator between our conversations with God. So for the Spirit to be able to move within us, Scripture has to be there for it to move. And so then we see in the Scripture that, oh, how we love His law. We meditate on it all day long. We see then that we have to, His commands make us wiser. We have more insight because we meditate on His statutes. We have more understanding than the elders because we obey the physical precepts and all of these things. So we start to have the Scripture then at a part of it. We then start to have this gift then, this discipline of meditation. There's a Hebrew word, Shema, and so this is the word that is used for here. So the word here is Shema. But you see, in Hebrew, the word for here also then comes with the second meaning of to obey. So in Hebrew, when they're talking about hearing things, right, when we hear from God, is that hearing and obeying aren't separate. They're together. You see, how many times as a kid do we hear our parents but not obey them? Or vice versa now, I hear the lies. How many times do we try to speak to the kids but they don't obey us? But you see, for God, right, when Jesus is saying, he who has ears, let him hear, it's because then that he who has ears, let him hear, but also do. So often we hear from God, but we don't do it. So the word for hear, so for us to be able to hear from God means then that whatever he's telling us to get rid of, whatever he's telling us to lay at his feet, whatever he's trying to tell us means that we also have to do it. If we want to properly hear from God in our meditation, then it means that we also have to do it. So meditation is for two things. Meditation is to hear God and to obey God. And so Exodus 33 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. God has this desire to speak to us in the same way with the relationship like he did with Moses here as a friend. God isn't trying to speak to us in some way where he's written in invisible ink on paper. We got to find some way to reveal it. He's not trying to speak and write in a way that's behind three different passwords plus the two-factor authentication and stuff like that. He's not trying to hide his conversations. God wants to speak to us. He wants us to have the opportunity to not only hear, but to also obey what he's saying to us. So the proper meditation then is that as we're hearing from God, we're also obeying it as well. So this true discipline then as we read the scriptures is to hear what it's saying and then obey it. You see, Jesus demonstrates meditation pretty clearly for us. And so in John 5, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. We're going to just sit right there for a second. Jesus then is doing only what the Father does. He's hearing and he's seeing God and he's replicating it. And how many times do we hear from God but try to do the opposite? We hear from God. Not what we want to hear, so well, maybe we'll just change paths until we hear what we want to hear from God. Well, that's not gonna cut it. So if we see from Jesus in his meditation, it's like he's doing what the Father does. We see, okay, he's hearing God and he's obeying God. And a few verses later, in verse 30, same chapter, it says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And then also in John 14, says, don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, there's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus right here, how many times have you been talked to by a Christian and you're just like, what in the world are you talking about? What in the world type of nonsense have you created? But right here, Jesus says that he only speaks what the Father is telling him to say. You see, Christians come up a lot of times with their own opinions. You know, speaking out of you-know-what. Just coming up with whatever they want to say and just rambling on. But what we see then is that if Jesus is only preaching what the Father tells him to, then that we as Christians will be able to know what the Father is trying to speak through us to other people. But we can only do that if we have God in us. And so what we have to believe from all of these things is that Jesus, through his meditation, is becoming a representation of God the Father. But for us to be able to meditate, we have to believe that Jesus is still alive and speaking to us. If we don't believe that Jesus is alive and still speaking today, meditation has no part in our walk with God. But once we believe that he's alive and still speaking, then it's up to us to do what Shema says, to hear and to obey. We can't keep those separate now. In our walk with God, we have to keep hearing and obeying hand in hand. Meditation for us is creating the sanctuary in us that Christ can dwell in. It's a space that he can enter and speak with us. We're entering into this deep, reverent place that God is at. Because Jesus, what we saw through all three of his examples, is that he is trying to replicate God. There is no world that we could replicate God in if he wasn't inside of us. You see, if God's not dwelling in us, there's no way that we can be a representation of God to the world. See, Christians have tried to be a representation of God to the world, but there's no God in them, and they're wondering why it's not working. They're wondering why Christians have this judgmental, hypocritical approach to things, but they aren't spending time meditating, dwelling on God's word and what he wants them to say to people. They're seeing what their own thoughts and opinions are, and now the Christians have this uphill battle of, man, we got to change some things. And it starts with the meditation of making sure that God has a home inside of our hearts. And so in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens his doors, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So often we hear this from an evangelical standpoint of, if you're a non-believer, just knock, God's going to open the door. But you see, the misconception is that this was written for believers. This was written to us because we claim to be believers. But when was the last time we knocked at the door and said, you know what, God, I want to spend time with you? When's the last time we knocked and said, God, what is it that you want to say to me? What can we have in this conversation? But so for us, this meditation, then we have to start to create this place that Jesus can dwell in, because meditation is going to be this inward change. It's going to be this inward change where we're creating this inner sanctuary for Christ to not only dwell, but to grow out. Because once we have Christ inside of us, the only option then is that Christ is going to be what comes out of us. So many Christians have a lot of different things inside of those are the things that come out. All of the things that we haven't replaced, Jesus with. In Romans 14:17-18, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man." And so this righteousness, peace, and joy. What we're talking about here is, man, wouldn't this be so much better if Christians had those three things flowing out of them? If in their dwelling with God, they were able to start to have righteousness, peace, and joy, instead of just this anger, this hatred, and this judgmentalness inside of us. What if we could start to just replace those with words that actually represent what Scripture tells us and tells us who God is? So there's three misconceptions that eventually lead to these three things. And so the first thing is something that I had to learn becoming a Christian. Because so for me, whenever I hear the word meditation, you think of the people who sit cross-legged, you know, I would demonstrate, but actually, I think I've told you this before. I received a compliment from my pediatrician growing up. You know what she told me? She said, "You're the least flexible person I've ever seen." I said, "Thank you." Thank you. It takes a lot of work to be this inflexible, unflexible, disflexible, ill-flexible. What is it, actually? Stiff? Yeah, no, thanks, guys. I'm not looking for synonyms. I'm looking for what word goes in for flexible. Unflexible. That's why I've said wrong. That's what I'm going with. I will Google it later. But so this, you have this picture of, oh, man, here's these people that can empty their mind and remove all of the stress from their life. But you see, the misconception is that from the Eastern meditation, it is emptying your mind, but the Christian meditation is filling your mind. These two things could not be more opposite. When we're talking about Christian type of meditation, it's filling ourselves with God's word so that way he can start to dwell in our hearts. So our meditation isn't sitting there emptying all of our thoughts and being at peace in that moment. The Christian meditation is taking scripture, putting it in our hearts and our minds day and night, and hearing it and obeying. So when we think of meditation, then, it's not this sort of thing where it's like, okay, if I just go sit over here for 30 minutes, maybe I'll do some stretches and my mind's going to be clear. I'm not going to worry about anything. It's not the type of meditation that we're talking about here. You see, in Luke 11, 24 through 26, it says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. You see, what happens here is he's emptying himself of the anger. He's emptying himself of the demon, all of these things, right? He's emptying himself of the lust, the anger, the jealousy, the rage, all of these things. You can empty yourself of it. But what we see here in God's word is that if you don't replace it with the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of God, it's only going to come back seven times strong. And you see, so that Eastern meditation is, I'm going to remove all of these things, that is never a permanent solution. The only permanent solution to a true heart change is by dwelling and meditating on God's word, knowing what it says, and being able to sit there and believe it and replace ourselves with the righteousness, peace, and joy of Jesus. The second misconception that we see is that it's not difficult, or that it is difficult, it's hard to do. But we talked about it at the beginning. All of those conversations that we replay in our mind is meditation. That's all it is. We meditate on the conversations that we've had or the conversations we've had. You see, so we're already doing it. We already do it a lot. I still do it a lot. Our mind is dwelling on something. So imagine if we started to replace those thoughts with some scriptures that we know. Imagine if we were able to start to dwell on them. The one that I've been using over the past couple weeks is in, and Jesus tells us, he goes, my peace I give you. That's all I just replay over myself. When I start to get worried, when I start to get anxious, frustrated, all of these things, he just says, Jesus promises me peace. Jesus promises me peace. I can paraphrase it. I don't have to have it memorized. I can just know the concept of it. But I can start to replay it over and over in my head. I can even start to picture it. When we have the meditation, we can start to almost picture what God's word is starting to say to us. We can picture whatever becomes peaceful for me. And ironically enough, we talked about it earlier, but my peace is found in the still waters and the green pastures. I just start to picture those in my head that I'm lying there. I'm hearing the water lap up against the shore, and it's peaceful for me. It takes me out of the meditating and all the anxious, stressful thoughts, replaces it with the scripture that God tells me, and I start to see a change in my body language. I feel more free. Most importantly, it changes how I talk to Sarah. I'm not frustrated when I'm dealing with her. It's still happens from time to time, right? You're supposed to say no. But it happens from time to time. I'm not going to dwell on that tonight, though. Don't worry. I know Jesus gives me peace. But with that, what we start to see then is that meditation is easier than we've made it out ever to be. It's not about clearing your mind. It's not about sitting there not fishing or anything like that. It's just simply replaying what God's word is saying. Psalm 51, create in me a new heart, O God. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. Ephesians 3, man, that as I'm rooted and established in love, we can come together with all of God's people and begin to understand how deep and wide and long and high is the love of Christ. Oh, man, our heart's prayer, we can picture it, all of us coming together, that we can begin to understand and have comprehension of this love of Jesus Christ. All of these scriptures that we can have in our mind that change those things, do not be afraid. Just replay it over in your mind. God says, do not be afraid. Oh man, he's the Lord my God. He promised me that he goes with me wherever. You can paraphrase it however you want. You can picture it however you want. But all you have to do is start saying it over and over in your head. And start to change the thoughts, the stresses, and those stressful conversations and the situations, and start to replace it with that. The third one, the misconception is that there's going to be psychological benefits from it. That's not the goal of it. That's not the heart of what we're trying to do. Our main goal is to become a representation of Jesus to the world. And Jesus says, I do only what my Father says. I hear only what my Father tells me to do. So our main goal is to hear and obey God. That's it. To hear and obey God. And it's done through the meditation of this. Because the one meditation leads to a completely human encounter, which is where we're emptying our mind. While the other one, the Christian meditation, the spiritual meditation, leads to a complete human divine encounter where it's us and God creating this intimate relationship with Him. Meditation is personal for each and every person. You see, what Israelites had to fight is that they had this desire for the king. They wanted a king so that way God could interact with the king and the king could interact with God on their behalf. And we've fallen into that same trap these days. How many of us sit back and think, man, pastor makes me meditate with God, and if he's going to share it on Sunday, then I'm going to be good to go? Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. In 1 Samuel 3, this is where Eli's teaching Samuel. And in it, Samuel's hearing something, but he doesn't know what it is. And Eli goes, oh, that's God speaking to you. I can't tell you what he's saying. I can't tell you what it means. But I can tell you that you need to go listen to him. And so each and every person, we see then that Jesus went off to listen to God in quiet places. We've been studying it all through Wednesdays in Mark, where he withdraws to a solitary place. We see Moses goes up to a mountain to be able to talk to God. It is his own personal thing with God that we all have to eventually embark upon in our journey with him. But so when we look at the how to meditate, it's that everyone's going to be different. Everyone's going to do it how they want. And so the book gives good advice on it of creating a set schedule time that you're going to do it, setting your phone aside, getting to a quiet place that's the same place, having scripture that you want to paraphrase, repeat, or memorize. It's up to you. Paraphrasing it, repeating it, and getting it stuck in your head. One of the things that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is that if you have a daily reading in the morning, they're suggesting reading it at night. Read it for 3 minutes before you go to bed, and just start to think about it as you fall asleep, and then when you read it in the morning, it'll already sort of be on your mind, but that's looking at the day and night part of it. But so meditation, we'll be going over a lot more practical ways tomorrow at group, that we can start to do it at home, how we start to build this practice, and what does it look like. But there's 3 forms of meditation that we want to cover. The first one is meditating on scripture. We've already talked about it. Meditating on scripture isn't diving deep into it. It's not trying to study the how, what, when, where, why of things. It's simply just, what does the Bible say? For example, John 14:7 says, my peace I give you. We already talked about that peace I give you. The meditation part isn't trying to figure out, okay, why am I not at peace? How will I be more at peace than all these things? Meditating on the scripture is just simply replaying, my peace I give you. Jesus gives me peace. Jesus gives me peace. There's no planning. There's no prepping. Nothing. It's just simply repeating the scripture to myself. It's letting the word resonate, feeling God's peace, and knowing that we are dwelling in Jesus' peace. We've talked about some of the other scriptures, but it's whatever scriptures speak to you in that moment for your situation. So whatever you're feeling, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're struggling with, I would encourage you the most to find scripture that you can meditate and dwell upon, that you can be able to recall at a given moment's notice to be able to start to meditate on it day and night. And the second one is a recentering or a buckling down. And so it's placing your palms down. You're holding them down. And this is everything then that you want to give to God. Everything that you want to give to God. And then when you're done with that, you just simply turn your palms up, you sit and you listen, and you receive whatever God is trying to speak to you. Whatever He's trying to give to you. It's not you seeking something, it's not you picking out what you want, but it's just simply God, I lay these at your feet, put my palms up, what is it that you want me to receive? And then the third form of meditation will be looking at creation. Looking and dwelling upon creation, because we see that God says even at the beginning that He created the heavens and the earth, that God created everything. If God created all of this, He created me as well. And so it's being able to be there in those moments with it. We also have Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Sitting somewhere, even looking at the skies, the stars, the sunrise, the sunset, and seeing that this shows just how creative of God we worship. So I'm gonna invite the worship team back then. We're gonna go more tomorrow into the forms of meditation, how stars are doing at home and those things. Of course, what we have to remember, we meditate so that Christ may dwell in us. And as Christ dwells in us, we become an accurate representation of who Jesus is to a world that needs it. A world that needs a Savior. A world who needs the light of life. That they no longer walk in darkness. So for us, through worship, throughout your week, our challenge is this. To find a scripture that you want to reclaim your mind. That when you start to get the feelings of distress, anxiety, or retain the conversations, you start to have God wants peace. No, God has created me for time. He has formed me. He says, I do not have to be afraid. He's never going to leave or forsake me. So, Heavenly Father, this morning, this week, may you place scripture on our hearts. May you place your word on our hearts that we can dwell on it day and night. Lord, you know what each and every one of us are going through. Lord, you know which part of your word we need. So, Lord, will you reveal it to us? Lord, would you help us begin to just simply meditate on your word? To have your word running through our mind day and night. To help us get through life with the light of life that we will no longer walk in darkness. So thank you, God, and we pray this in time. Amen.